Hey, it's Jordan Johnson, and you are listening to The Grove Podcast. Today's episode is the first in our Making the Grove series, where you'll get a behind-the-scenes look at how The Grove came to be and what goes into the brainstorming, the creating, the building, and the fostering of this gathering that seeks to serve the women of our city and beyond. The Grove is a monthly gathering for the women of Atlanta and is an outpouring of Passion City Church. It's led by Shelley Giglio and an amazing team of women. In today's episode, you'll hear from some of them as we discuss how the Lord spoke to Shelley to give her this vision for ministering to women, what she did with that. And then we'll also hear from Kara Diba, who serves as the Grove's creative lead, as well as Danielle Flickinger, who heads up our Flourish mentoring journey and who is around to experience the very first days of the Grove. Make sure you stay tuned to the end for more resources and how to stay connected with us. And here is Shelley Giglio, Kara Diba, and Danielle Flickinger. Well, we are here with some of the amazing women of our Grove team, and we have Shelley Giglio.
Hello.
Kara Diba.
Hey.
And Danielle Flickinger.
Hello.
And we're going to talk today about how we steward this vision. We're going to hear from Shelley about how the Lord gave her a vision for the Grove and how she shared it and then what we've all done with it. So let's take a second and everybody just kind of introduce yourself. Tell everyone who you are and what your role is here at the Grove. Danielle, let's start with you.
Sure. I'm Danielle and I am part of the Grove leadership team. Have been walking under Shelley's leadership for many, many years, about 15 years.
Amazing. And you're just amazing that you would do that, Danielle.
I won't leave until you kick me out. And so part of the Grove leadership team, but I also have the privilege of focusing in developing Flourish, which is one of our words, but also our mentoring program that started for the women of Passion City Church and now is available for the women of the world.
It's such a beautiful gift. Yeah. We want to hear all about that, Danielle.
Yes, I can't wait.
Shelley, what do you do around here?
Goodness, Jordan, thanks for asking. Hey, I'm Shelley Giglio, and I guess my name tells you that I'm married to Louie, which is great and challenging, and he would not be surprised if I said that.
All of it.
Yeah. And I have the gift of leading the Grove here at Passion City Church, along with a few other jobs that I love as well. And it's kind of been a miracle thing, and we'll talk about that today, but not exactly what I've seen myself doing, but God had better plans. So I think just to even speak that over our lives as we start talking is a gift, to know that every time we do something great, it's not necessarily what we see. Sometimes it seems like it's the opposite of what we would see ourselves doing. And yet God is God, and he directs us the way he sees best. And sometimes we end up in some interesting places. So here I am, and
I love it. That's for sure. Beautiful. Kara?
That's so good. My name's Kara Diba, and I am on the Grove team, serve as our kind of creative lead, but my role is to help just manage our amazing Grove team and lead us to execute that unexpected, beautiful vision
which
that God
you do so well
gave Shelley. Well, it's a joy to be able to do, and barely feels like any kind of job, but the day-to-day kind of looks like, receiving and hearing that vision from Shelley and then helping oversee just the production of lots of different things that we have the privilege to carry out as the Grove, whether videos or marketing and promotion, and really connecting with other women of our house to help build what the Grove is and carry it out month to month.
Yeah, and so much of it programming too. I think when we think about what actually happens on a Monday, Kara is so involved in what that looks like and how it feels, and really helping assess where the people are so that we can speak to people's needs and not just feel like we're putting on a production.
Right.
We don't want it to be a production. We want it to be something that actually is speaking to currently where we are from the perspective of God and encouraging women to move toward what God is saying over their lives. And so we spend a lot of time and energy in prayer getting to that point, and Kara is a huge, massive part of that.
Absolutely. She inspires us all.
I love that Kara has a little unicorn by her name.
Oh, on she her is email. A unicorn and for sure.
Oh, my goodness. That's what she is.
Yeah, so talented, so creative, like, so gifted, but just so amazing. Willing. I think when I think about you girls in particular, and Jordan, I want you to introduce yourself too, but I just think about the willingness to be led and to not feel like that your giftedness is going to be thwarted by being under authority.
Yes.
And instead it's going to flourish to be under authority. And that's the way God's intended it. And it's happening here. Mm. And I love sitting in this circle, just looking at your faces, your gifted faces, hands and lives, and thinking how God intended you to be in this moment. Mm. And that he's receiving a lot of glory from that. So it's very cool.
What a gift. That's amazing. Mm. I am Jordan Johnson, and I am part
or
of
JoJo.
The, or JoJo. JoJo. You might hear me referred to as JoJo
yes.
in the coming moments. My job around here is the Grove Podcast Curator.
I love it.
So you have heard my voice on the podcast intros and outros and those kinds of things. And I love getting to kind of help just put this podcast together and get it out to the world.
Incredible job of that. I love the story of Jordan, obviously, is a worship leader and incredibly gifted. Mm-hmm. She's gifted in lots of areas, but leading worship is primarily her giftedness. And we were sitting in a meeting one day and we were considering a podcast and praying about it. Karen and I have been talking about it for a while. We had so much on our plates that we couldn't imagine how we could pull it together. And Jordan happened to be in our office in a meeting one day, and we all kind of looked at her and said, Jordan, why don't you help us do the podcast? She was like, I'm going to need to pray about that.
That's exactly
I'll get back
what
to
happened.
You. That but is you know exactly what? Isn't happened. It amazing to think from that day until today, how many women's lives are being touched that are not beautiful. Able to be here, that it's are not phenomenal. Able to come to anything that we do here. And obviously with quarantine, we're not doing a lot in our building right now, but but more importantly, that they get touched by what's happening at the Grove because of your lending your hands and heart to that vision. So thank you for doing that, Jordan.
Oh man, yes. It's really fun. It's been a fun muscle to learn how to stretch.
We're all stretching.
And and it's a really cool testimony to how the Lord has continued to allow the vision that he gave you in the beginning to continue to grow and for the team to be willing to allow the Spirit to keep moving, blowing wind in the sails and taking us where he wants us to go. So Shelley, take us back to that day years ago, or I don't know how long it was growing
it was
in your heart.
Really weeks and months, I think, before I was, I'm a slow learner, so it took a moment for God to break through.
But so the Lord called you to women's ministry.
Yeah, it was, like I mentioned earlier, it's not exactly what I would consider to be a fit.
Sure.
And people who don't know me think I might be making fun of that. I'm not. I have so much respect for women leaders and for the way that they invest in women's ministry and have my whole life. I grew up as a church girl, have so much respect for people who give their lives away serving the church. So it wasn't so much that I had a disrespect for the role. It was more like I just couldn't see myself in that role.
Sure. And you already had so many other things going on.
I had a lot of things going on. And I also just, and I'm not typical in so many ways. I've spent most of my life in boardrooms with men. I've spent a lot of my life on the road with band guys. And I just, when I think about girls and being in ministry with them, it's just not what I think of myself as. And so that's part of why I think God kept telling me, like, I have something for you. I want you to treasure me. I want you to look at me. And if you follow me, I'll lead you to some places that aren't predictable. They're not things that you would think you would be doing, but I promise I'm God and I'm the one leading you. And it took me a while for my heart to catch up with that and to believe that that could actually be true and to see myself doing something that I wasn't that comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And I've never been a stage girl, don't love stages, don't want to be on them, don't see that I'm really gifted for it, don't feel that called to it, love behind the scenes, have always worked to facilitate vision. And I've loved that role in life. And so when God said, hey, I want you to start something, my greatest fear was, oh no, they're going to want me to stand up there and I don't want to stand up there. And I feel like, we have to die to ourselves every day. Yes. And part of dying to ourselves is dying to our own expectations. Mm-hmm. Of that's I don't feel comfortable here. I don't want this to be me. I don't know what people will think about me. What will this feel like? Yeah. All of those things are part of the opportunity for us to say, you know what? I'm willing to do what God wants me to do first and primarily. And if that includes me standing here or speaking up or being in this role, then I'm not going to resist God.
Yes.
And that's different from resisting uncomfortability. You know,
that's right.
I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, well, I was disobedient. And the reason was I just didn't feel comfortable. Wow. I want to get to the end of my life and say, I showed up. And if God could use that, my brokenness and my willingness, if he can take that and put anointing on it, then I'm here for that.
That's it. Yeah.
And that's really the birthplace of the Grove. Honestly, it's just, it was a dying to myself of my expectations, my fears, my limitations, and God saying to me, hey, I am trustworthy and true. Mm-hmm. And if, like it says in 2 Chronicles 20, if I will keep my eyes on you, then you will lead me to victory.
Yes.
And so I'm so like, good. Okay, God, amen. I'm just going to keep glued to you and we'll see where this thing goes. And obviously now, 8 years later, it all makes sense, but it didn't in the time and it didn't feel comfortable in the time. And it was a big stretch. Jordan, you already said, I feel that muscle stretching. It's like, I feel that too, you know, every day. Like, I don't know how to do this, but I do know God. And I know that he's good, and I know what he calls, he flourishes. And so we believe that, and we've seen
what a time that was when this city was
blooming.
It is now, but I remember just being in a time where this city, Atlanta, was just growing so much. And there was a huge need. Our church was, what, a couple years old?
Yeah.
And I remember when Shelley mentioned and started the movement towards creating the Grove, I knew exactly what she just said was going to happen, and that's why I was excited, is because I knew it would be something different, fresh, and number one, so needed. You guys can probably hear my accent. I'm from São Paulo, Brazil, a huge city.
Part of why we love you so much.
And I remember when I moved here, people asked me if I was overwhelmed with in Atlanta, not knowing the size of São Paulo.
They're like, and that cute little city in Brazil. You're like, no, it's massive.
About 22 million people. Yes. And I just remember how excited I was to see Atlanta blooming. And from 8 years to now, even more. And when you see that kind of growth and that kind of expansion, you also know that God, you're going to need a lot of God. And I remember how excited I was when Shelley started that movement, and having something so out of the box and fresh was incredibly encouraging to me.
I love that you mentioned Atlanta, because this, the Grove is for the women of the city of Atlanta. That has been, you know, the original and continual vision for who we're serving. So how did you know that it was going to be going outside of Passion City Church, and that we wanted to invite the entire city to come?
Well, I think part of it is just my heart. My heart has always been for people. And I love the people that are inside the church, but I also love the people who aren't. And when I wake up every day, those people who don't yet know Jesus are first and foremost in my heart. And some of us, you know, have been acquainted with religion or have been acquainted with some version of church, but not all of us have had a good experience. And some people even have been devastated, honestly, by the church and by its people. And I think about those people a lot. And so I think part of my makeup from God is just to consider people who don't yet have a great experience of God, maybe because of people. And I just want to invite them to something different. And I want them to really be invited to God's heart. And so I think from the very beginning, it never made sense to me to just close the doors of the church and put all the people who believed inside and say, this is us. And obviously I want to make disciples. Obviously I've invested my whole life in trying to grow people up into their knowledge and understanding of God. And I believe in that. But I also want people who don't yet know or haven't yet accessed that part of God to know him. And that drives me every day, not just when I'm at work or at church or doing the Grove, but it drives me at the grocery store. It drives me at, you know, I'm always looking for opportunities that God wants to use my life in. And I just think it felt like a natural byproduct to extend this invitation to the whole city.
Well, hearing you talk about that makes it feel even more clear why the Lord would choose you to give this vision to. He had already put that kind of spirit in you to see beyond the church walls, to see the broken and the confused and the down and out. And that was already part of who he has made you to be. Yeah, so it makes sense that he would give you this vision, knowing that you would steward it in this way.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. And it's hard. You know, there are people inside the church that feel uncomfortable with it because I really just want it to go deep. You know, I don't want you to have to tell me every time how to be saved. Then there are people that are, you know, outside of the church who are like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking in spiritual terms and they make no sense to me. And I've always believed that the power of God can transcend both.
Yes.
That the Spirit is uniquely gifted to speak individually to us in corporate settings. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. That we can gather as all the people that he's made, and that yet he can, by his Holy Spirit, speak uniquely to us. And to underrate his ability to do that is a travesty.
Right.
It's really harmful, I think, to the church to say, hey, we're a church that's about disciples, or we're a church that's about salvations. It's like, no, we're a church that's about God.
That's right.
And as a result, all people are welcome here to hear and understand and know God. And that might be at a deep level, like, hey, I've been here my whole life and give me more. And it might be at a, I don't yet know, please explain it to me. But everyone in the same environment can know God in some way and can take a step toward him every time we gather. Mm-hmm. And that's my heartbeat. And I think the Grove has never watered down spirituality or never called people to less. At the same time, people get saved every time we meet.
Yeah.
They always respond to God. And praise I'm like, God, hey, yeah. You can put deep things out there and the Spirit of God translates them really well.
Yeah.
So right. I just think there's a heartbeat in me that says, let's do both. And let's do them simultaneously all at the same time. And it's the power of God is big enough to make all that work.
Absolutely. As you're leading us, Shelley, in our planning and our meetings, as our team talks about it, one of the things I love that we come back to often is let's take the pressure off. Let's remember that none of this is made or broken over even what we're bringing, but to keep Jesus at the center of what we're doing, and to say that we're not focused on anything but him doing that work that you just talked about takes off so much pressure. We've talked about.
Yeah, well, it's not up to us.
That's right.
We're doing something big and we're inviting people to something huge, not just in numbers, but in like what we're investing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not up to us.
That's right.
And there's no one in the equation, none of you here or any of our extended team who think, hey, if I don't do something, it's not going to happen. Because we've all experienced God, right?
Yes.
And we've seen him do the miraculous in our own lives. And so why would we underrate that?
That's great.
Or think it comes back to us? You know, it doesn't. And so I think he uses us sometimes in spite of us. And that's the most brilliant part of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So Shelley, take us back to when you got this vision, you agree that you're going to take these steps, and how you built a team around this vision. How did you then share that vision and make sure that what we're doing continues to be, to maintain the integrity of that vision?
Yeah, you know, I really just prayed for God to kind of highlight the people who are already around me, who I felt like I could share this vision with in a way that felt approachable by them, in a way that they could see themselves in the vision. Honestly, the vision was never really about me. The vision was about women. And it was an invitation to something way broader than my own gifting and my own opportunities to stand on a stage. In fact, many of the Groves, I'm never even on the stage. It wasn't ever built around my gifting. It was built as an invitation to women to move toward God. And whatever we feel like, Karen and I talk about this all the time, whatever we feel like that we can encourage people with in a given Monday night is what we want to do. Because what God's saying is what we want to say. There's scripture that says, you know, I do what I see my Father doing, and I say what I hear my Father saying. And that's what I do. And so if we're not asking God, what do you want to say? And we're just putting out, hey, this is what we think, or this is our opinion, then we're selling people way short of what the opportunity is. And so we spend a lot of time saying, who do we feel like God wants to say at this time? How do we think he wants to say something? You know, what does he really want to say? Mm-hmm. How does he want to use? And then we pray so much that he will lead us to that conclusion. And so I think I invited people into that. I invited people into, and women, some of them sitting here, original people into, hey, I don't know what this is. I don't know what it's going to look like, and I can't promise you the outcome. But I do believe God's moving, and I do want to show up for that, and I do want to make us available to that. And I want it to be as much about you as it is about me. It's not about me. It's about us and a we. And we built that team from the very beginning, and a lot of those people are still involved in it. Some of you people came later, which I love. God always makes the heart of his house strong so that he can reach all the edges. And I believe he's done that through the Grove team. So really, I didn't do anything special except just share that vision and invite people in and honestly not make it about me. If I did anything right, it was that.
That was what made it so exciting.
Maybe. I don't know.
You know, sometimes just that openness to whatever God's going to do, I remember, is what excited me so much.
Yeah. It's a gift to be a part of ministry that's not about a person, isn't it? And all of us who've been in ministry a long time in life can feel that gift, and it's a treasure. So, yeah.
Kara, tell us about how you came on the team. I love that story and what you do. Kind of unpack a little bit more about what your role looks like and how you continue to help steward this vision.
Sure. So when the Grove was kind of birthed and happening, and Shelly can speak to this too, as far as the vision being that it would just be for Atlanta. It wasn't being exported anywhere, right? But the beautiful thing about what was so attractive about the Lord being at the center was that he was still allowing that to kind of be spread even by word of mouth. Just that freshness and the newness of what God was doing through this vision was reaching other places. One of those places being Nashville, Tennessee, where I was working at another church, and was not even working anywhere near like women's ministry or anything like that. But as I kind of saw a few glimpses online and heard about what was happening down at Passion City Church, I actually got to come with a group of women from Nashville down to the Grove to kind of attend as a, I'll be honest, I was a fangirl. It was amazing. It was beautiful.
Awesome.
And just get to come and really have my heart blown up by, I remember it was actually a year to the day before I would actually join the team. I got to come and hear from women of Atlanta, not any name that I'd ever heard of, but women who've been investing in one another. A woman that had been called out of darkness into light by Jesus alive in another woman's life. Mm-hmm. And that night just shifted my whole mentality, honestly, toward women's ministry. And I think as someone who grew up in the church and had some different feelings and experiences, just seeing Jesus at the center and that being the purpose and the driving force behind all the beauty and the external, but the reason for it all was just huge. And so I got to come and experience it just as an attendee. And then long story short, God was doing some things in the life of the church where we were serving and in my husband's life and in my life. And God ended up calling us down here to be a part of Passion City Church. And what's interesting and that I love about even just the beginning relationship between myself and Shelly, as who would become my leader and the carrier of this vision I get to be a part of, is that while our family was kind of getting to know and being sort of interviewed by Passion City, and we're coming down here with my husband being kind of the subject and who was being interviewed and looked at for a position here, quietly and confidently, Shelly started to speak into what God might have for me ahead in the next season. And I get emotional over it just because I love that the heart of the Grove is that we would always, no matter what we're doing, it's amazing, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, but the point is that women would be seen and known and loved. And they would understand that they are seen, known, and loved, not only by the people around them, but most importantly by Jesus. Yeah. And so as Shelly's ears and heart and mind were in tune with what God was speaking over my life, I began feeling that personally from that very beginning moment. There's so many beautiful details about how we ended up here, but we ended up here.
So good.
And again, just honoring that, the vision and leadership of yours, Shelly, to be confident in the vision God's given you allows us to all run in our lanes. So over the last 5 years I've been here, my day-to-day has changed from being more in the weeds and in the grind and in doing things that I love and learning how to do things I never knew, how to build environments, how to build promotional, beautiful art with our teams here, and on into leading people. Right. I've personally grown so much just as a woman, as a wife, as a teammate, and as just a woman of God looking to Jesus to be rooted, to flourish where I'm planted, to walk in freedom, and to offer my life as shade to people in my path. So I'm a Grove girl from the ground up.
She's a beautiful picture of what the Grove is about. And amazing. I'll never forget that moment that we were interviewing Jason and talking to him about a position and how God was speaking to me about Kara. Mm. And what a joy to get to look across the table at her and to just say, I really think that this isn't just about Jason, that this actually is about you as well and about your obedience to God in this area. And then to think of the 5 years, and you guys know Karen, how gifted she is. Gosh. And she wasn't doing anything related to what she's doing now. Yeah. And it wasn't like obvious, like I have all these gifts and I'm just walking around with them. But God spoke into it, and he spoke to her, and he spoke, I think, in a way through me. Mm-hmm. And he was calling us all up to something greater. Absolutely. And we didn't really know at the time what that was going to be, but we knew that it was God.
Yeah.
And so we were willing to say yes to it. And just to think about the way he's flourished that in all these years has been a beautiful thing to walk through. And it is a good picture of the Grove because we're asking that of women outside of our environment, but it's only authenticated when it's the same inside.
Absolutely.
Love it. When we're living as Grove girls, then we can say to women, hey, there's an opportunity for you to live this way.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't matter with us, then how would it ever matter to them?
Right.
That's right. It really is an invitation. And Kara, you mentioned our words, our four words that are our foundations: rooted, flourish, freedom, and shade. And Shelley, you're talking about really inviting all the women who come, who experience it, into these things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Daniela, would you unpack a little bit more for us about these foundations and then how it kind of unraveled into what we have as Flourish today?
Sure. So I remember that Shelley, so number one, when the Grove was being born, I was birthing my first child.
That feels appropriate. Symbolic. There was a lot of birth going on.
I know. And I was coming off a season of kind of a sabbatical and a processing of what my life was going to be next. I was part of Passion Conferences before our church started. Eric and I, my husband, helped with the beginning of the church, meeting in basements and homes. And we were the first marriage, wedding of Passion City Church.
I love it.
You remember that?
You set it off on a good course.
But so when Shelley started the Grove, I was watching everything happened and praying. I remember praying for it and just so excited about what God was going to do at Passion City and the newness of everything in our city. And I was at that season just doing in my personal life mentoring. I love mentoring. I love helping people be everything they were made to be, because I believe that we need cheerleaders alongside our journey. And I just was doing that in my personal life. And when the Grove started, Shelley and I got together, and it was almost like the perfect timing. Mm-hmm. I remember my daughter Sophia was 8 months old when we had this conversation at this beautiful restaurant. And we talked about Flourish and mentoring and going deeper besides our gatherings. And that was the vision that we talked about that day, was walking with women in another layer of finding God and going deeper with God and really embracing a life that's available to us in God's word, but it's not so easy to find sometimes. And coming back to that truth and helping women really in this world, in this day and age where it's so easy to find different kind of truths and there's so much confusion, helping women come back to the essence of what they should be and embrace, to me was a huge privilege. And it just fired me up. I remember just thinking, I'm a mom, and I thought at that time I couldn't do anything else besides being a mom because it's hard, and it didn't change much, but I remember just saying, I can do something else. Yeah. I can embrace something else in my life because it's a privilege and it's such a huge, amazing purpose. And that's how Flourish was born, was out of that vision that we would help women to embrace a higher standard of living based on the Word of God. And Flourish was created out of that and became one of the words of, you know, the vision of the Grove. And it's been almost 8 years.
Crazy,
amazing. It started, we're still going with Flourish, and we have beautiful plans for the future of Flourish.
Yeah.
And in a way, we're just getting started. I believe that.
Yeah. It's amazing to watch because thousands of women have been mentored at Passion City Church over the last 8 years. And it's all basically a curriculum that we wrote in-house that's scripture. It's 1,000% mm-hmm. scripture, and it's just helping people organize scripture in a way that they can walk through it every day with someone who's slightly ahead of them, who knows God a little bit more maybe than what they do, and who can encourage them that God has a beautiful plan for their life mm-hmm. and that He wants them to know Him. And mm-hmm. we get to encourage women to know Him. And so I talked earlier, you know, just about discipleship and whether that's an either or with invitation to salvation. And I'm like, that's a perfect example of the Grove. We Truly. Do get to have gatherings. The same time God gave me the vision for gathering women of the city, He also gave me the vision for Flourish, which is growing women of our city up. We want to be women of strong faith. We want to be women who actually have limbs in our life that are long enough and full leaf so that people can stand underneath our wings and be shaded.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we dream of, is to grow into oaks of righteousness. And to do that, we have to take intentional steps. Mm-hmm. We're not just going to like wink and be all the women God wants us to be. We have to move toward that.
Absolutely.
And Flourish is a beautiful way for women to invest in that to the degree that they can become who they really dream they want to be.
Right.
And I love that we get to do it, and I love that thousands of women have experienced it here and now, like Danielle said, all over the world, because this program is now available for other people, and we hope people in their own churches and in their own environments can actually take part of this as well.
Flourishmentor.com.
Yeah.
It's a good
Check
one.
It out.
Kara, talk to us about shade and how that plays out through the Grove. And some of the shade opportunities that we've gotten to be a part of.
Yeah. Well, we want to, like Shelley just said, the goal is to grow into oaks of righteousness so that our branches can offer shade to the people in our path. Because we know in so many ways of like mothers learning, teachers learning, sisters, and, you know, in all of our roles as women in the world, we know that if we're not offering shade to the people in our path, they will find it somewhere, mm-hmm. right? So we want to intersect and make sure we're in the habit of living a life of generosity, mm-hmm. whether that means resources, time, heart, just all kinds of investment. And mm-hmm. I love that through the Grove, we've been able to come together and do kind of a corporate offering of shade. Yeah. But again, it's always going to be part of just that heartbeat and what we're saying mm-hmm. from a stage and from social media and in a podcast. Just the point is to grow deep, root your life in the Word of God so you can grow out and be shade to His people. And so some of the beautiful ways we've gotten to do that have been just as simple as, I remember that first night that I came, we were interviewing our friend Meredith and her friend Rachel, who had come out of being in strip clubs and had lived this dark life. And had met Jesus because some of the women from the Grove
so beautiful.
Had gone and invested in her life.
Right.
And a beautiful way you guys had thought that night, Shelley, of coming alongside other women in belief was to bring hygiene products and things that we could continue to take into those clubs and take to those women. So it's been as simple as bringing something like a food pantry item or a hygiene item all the way to we've organized this large clothing swap for several years called the Grove Swap. And so that's not only donating clothes that are like you're done and you're rid of, but we lead women to come and bring their best so that it can be a gift, a sacrifice, a praise and offering to other women's lives. And then we have a free clothing swap with tens of thousands of items of free clothes that women can come and shop in dignity, not out of need, but out of fellowship and friendship with each other.
That's one of my favorite things we do. And I think it just offers people that opportunity to receive shade, which we all need, but in a way that feels so dignified for them. And it never actually just points to the people that need things. Mm-hmm. It actually invites them into people who really don't need anything, who maybe brought all the things, like some of us. but it also puts us in the same environment with them. And nothing makes me happier than walking through church sometime and seeing somebody wearing a shirt that I brought that I loved, you know, that might have been one of my favorite things, and to see them wearing it, or to see someone in the neighborhood with a sweatshirt on that has something Passion City Church on it. I just think it's such a beautiful reflection of the way God cares about us. Yeah. And how then we care about other people.
Absolutely.
And we get to do things like that, like Freedom Grove, which I'm sure somebody's going to mention at some point, but we get to go into prison and offer the Grove for women who are behind bars, who cannot be free to come, who don't have an opportunity to really grow spiritually in their own environment of where they are. And we get to go in and offer that to them and actually raise them up as disciples of Christ while they're in prison. So that when they get out of prison, they live a free life, not just free from bars, free from themselves.
Amazing.
That's the goal, is that we would know God and live a life of purpose with Him. Beautiful. And so some of those things have been the shade what we've done as well. So there's so many layers. But you know what I was thinking about while you were talking, Kara? You know, it's only as good as, like I said earlier, as it is to us personally. Yeah. And Kara is one of the most generous, life-giving, showing up for people in need people I know. So when we stand up on a stage and say, hey, we should do this for Shade, people aren't thinking that that's interesting. Oh, man, that's weird. I can't believe they're doing that. They think that's authentic. That girl showed up for me when nobody else did. And then when we invite people to do that corporately, all of us in this room hopefully are a reflection of that personally as well. So it just makes sense.
There are few people who will still come to your door with fresh baked goods.
It's the highlight of my life.
But we can always count on Kara.
She makes some of the most beautiful desserts I've ever seen in my
life. It's true. Give out of the overflow. You know, I learned it from somewhere.
I love
all you ladies in this room.
Well, this has been very full and rich to hear the vision, to hear how we continue to foster it, encourage each other. And, you know, I think maybe some people might have tuned in to hear some of the logistics of how do you make this happen? But I think what we have talked about here, I will attest, you know, I'm the newest member among us here. And, I was living in Texas when the Grove started, but also saw online and was so excited for it to be happening. And I was for sure jealous, but I was very excited that the women of Atlanta were getting this amazing offering. But I will also attest to, you know, even being here for just a few years and a part of the team for as long as we've been here, that it really is the heartbeat that is the most important thing that keeps it going and that makes it the beauty that it is, that makes it the invitation that it is. And so, Shelley, before we close, I just want you to, what encouragement do you have for women out there who maybe they have been given a vision for a women's ministry? Maybe they've just been given a vision for something that they believe that God is calling them to, but don't necessarily know how that's going to play out.
It's hard because I think as humans, we're always trying to determine the voice of God. And that's a tricky one, right? And we're trying to figure out, is this God speaking to me? Or is this just a good idea? Or is this a bad idea and I don't need to listen to it? And I think discerning the voice of God is one of the most challenging things that Christians do. And that's trying to figure out, God, are you speaking this over my life? And is it for this season? And is this what you're saying for me to do? And I get asked that question all the time because our life has been full of following vision. How do you do that? How do you know it's God? How do you know to obey it? Whatever. I always say a couple of things. One, you know how to follow God when you know God. And so if you don't know the voice of God, then just try to get to know God. And eventually, just like I did with you, Jordan, when I got to know you, I know your voice. And I don't have to look at my phone to see that it's you when you call because I know you by voice. But I didn't before I was around you. I wouldn't have known that that was you. And so I think it's the same thing with God. We often want to know what the voice of God is saying without knowing the person saying it. And the goal is to know the person saying it. And once we begin to know the person, then we understand how his voice fits and that it's him. So I think that's the first thing. Secondly, I would just encourage us to use other people as inspiration to us. When I see people follow God, I am very inspired by them. I want
to follow God more. Mm-hmm. I don't, however, want to do everything they've done. Mm, right. And it becomes tricky like that sometimes. We need to be inspired by what people have done to follow God, but we don't need to do what people have done. We need to do what God is telling us to do.
Absolutely.
And so social media can be tricky in that way. Yeah. We can look at people in other places and think, let's just do that. And at the same time, God might have something uniquely planned for us that we'll miss out on. So what I would highly encourage people to do is to be inspired, even by the Grove. I want to be inspired by what you guys do. I want to look at those pictures and think, what might God want to do here?
Yes.
Not how do I do that?
Yes. That's great. That's
because it. God might not be calling you in Dallas or Detroit to do that, but he might be calling you to do something beautiful and something great. Yeah. And so I would just say, keep your eyes, like I started in the beginning, on God, and God will lead you to the great. And if we had modeled everybody else, we wouldn't have Flourish. Mm. We wouldn't have four words, and we probably wouldn't have made it 8 years. But instead, we followed God, and turns out God's a good one to follow. So that's how I would encourage people the most.
Amen.
So good.
Wow. Will you please pray for the women listening today, and just for them to be able to hear that voice and lean into him?
Yeah, God, would you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, lead us today? Would you, with all authority and truth that's resident in you, would you actually let us pay attention to your voice?
Yes, God.
And would you let us hear from you so that we could know and understand what you're saying to us? Yes. And God, I always say this, but I really believe that obedience is our step.
Amen.
It's the way we participate in the things that you're doing. And so would you help us obey today?
Yes, God.
What we hear, would we take a step toward that today, knowing that you will provide the way, provide the resources, provide the opportunities, that our choice today is just to enter in by our own obedience. Mm. And thank you for teaching me that every day in all realms of life. Thank you that I never arrive, that I'm not a person who's just, oh, you're obedient now. There's never that point. It's constant, day by day, moment by moment activity. And so would you just awaken that in us and give us guts today to say yes and amen and to agree with your will for us today, God. And that's what we want more than anything. I pray for women that they would hear from you, that they would tune out everything else, and that they would lock in on your voice, and that your voice would speak to us, and that we would know it's you. And I thank you for that privilege in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we hope that gives you some insight, not only into the Grove, but in hearing from God and the great rewards of being obedient and faithful when he calls. If you want to stay connected with the Grove and our upcoming gatherings, please stay tuned at thegroveonline.com, where you'll also find other resources, as well as flourishmentor.com to find out more about the Flourish mentoring journey that we talked about today. Thanks so much for listening, and we will catch you next time on the Grove Podcast.